taking place. But that moment, when I came before Baba, and I had met him before, but yet here, that in 1954, he asked us to come in on individual interviews. And there he gave me so much, so much, for the rest of my life.
Before I joined Baba, when Baba called me, before that, I considered myself to be a decent person. Well-behaved, good, pure, honest, modest.
Square.
Square, round, everything, perfect. Then Baba ordered me to follow him, called me, I followed him. I was a very quiet person, very lovable, loud one, everything perfect. But as years passed by, I projected just the reverse of all that was good in me. And I became frightened with my own image. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened is, I was very nasty with people, very irritable. I used to shout at people. I do still shout. I do everything now, continually, getting angry and doing this and doing that and all sorts of things, you see. Not loving others properly, hurting others' feelings and all that. So one day I couldn't contain myself and I just tried to watch myself. I said, what has happened to me? On the contrary, I should become better than what I used to be, but I knew that I was very good at the time. There was no question of improvement there. But now, what is there? What has happened to me? I am becoming worse as years pass by. So I told one day to Baba, Baba, such are my thoughts. What can I do? So I said this, but most natural is the right thing that is happening to you. Now what to say? Nothing. But he, being compassionate, he explained. And the explanation that he gave was so sweet. He says, you know the sugar cane? Have you seen the sugar cane, friend? The sugar cane?
Yeah.
The sugar cane farm.
Yeah.
It's full of sweetness.
Yeah.
It's full of sweetness. Sugar cane. It's after all cane of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, you were the sugar cane. You were that. You were sweet before you came to me. Then I, being the farmer, I cut the sugar cane and brought it to my expeller, you see, where I wanted to extract juice out of it. So I got you in my factory, you see, and I got the juice out of it. So now, this sweetness that was there in the juice too. In the beginning. And you felt happy in the first few years. But I was not content with having the juice. I wanted to have crystal sugar out of it. So I started boiling the juice. So when the juice started boiling in the cauldron, the scum started coming up. And that is the scum that you see yourself when you are frightened.
That's great.
The sweetness is there all the time, but the scum, I'm throwing it out now. So allow it to come and throw it. Don't be frightened. That's how the explanation is.
You see, these explanations that this Baba gave us so spontaneously, they are so conclusive and so explanatory. There is no way of fiddling around with them and trying to do something else with it.
Yeah.
It's just so tangible, so apparent that you cannot change it. You have to accept it as it presents.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
it's
such a perfect example of the truth.
Yeah. So Ella, you speak now that you go silent.
Okay. You know, the other day we had to make a decision, and Ella and I went before Baba's picture, and we just had framed a little bit of a picture which we wanted to take along on travel, so we have Baba's always with us, you know. We have one, but sometimes we are separate, and each one has to have one picture of Baba. So we took one picture, and that is the picture that Baba is dry washing his hands.
Yeah.
But he has such an expression that said, doesn't it look like Baba as if he wanted to say, well, what are you going to do about it now? You've been a good lad at Baba in front of him.
I'm going to fix your
wagon. Yeah, fix your wagon now.
You have deprived me of a wonderful experience of yours.
Only of one?
One. The latest.
Latest one.
This picture, this bag.
Oh, that one, yes. It was a New Year in the apartment, and it was a cold winter day. I was sitting in front of the television set, and it was a very poor show. So I was disgusted. I snapped off the television, and I took the blanket which I had over my knee. I folded it up, and I wanted to walk past the coffee table, there on the sofa, and there was this picture of Baba. I don't know what made me look up to him, and he came right out of the picture, looked more carefully. He got my head between his hands, but he did like this to me. And I was so shocked. I didn't know what was happening to me. And then he went back into it, and I was still shaking. I went back into my bedroom, and Ella was in the other one, and his bedroom was dark, and it was sitting down on the sofa under his bed, and was shaking like this and crying like mad, because I didn't even meditate on him. I didn't even think of him. I just looked up at his picture, and he comes down to me and gets hold of me and shakes my head like this. And I cried and I cried and I cried. And Ellen noticed that everything was so quiet all of a sudden. So she came into the bedroom, into the dark bedroom, and she sat alongside of me and she said, he came to you? And all I could was blubbering, I could say, yes, he was with me. He was with me. He shook my head. Then I had to tell her what happened. Mm-hmm. And it was so real. Mm-hmm. Now, only he who experienced such a thing can confirm it and say, yes, it can be. It is so. Mm-hmm. But if I relate a story now, people say, well, it's imagination or he had a vision or something like that. But this was so physical. It was so physical that I was shaking up that
very When was this thing?
That was we were still in the Carnegie House.
Just about a week later, Meherji and Al came to New York at that time.
That time, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will come out very hard. It went to 101 and 2. But we could tolerate that much. But when it goes to 104 and 5, I think.
Are you going to eat lunch?
Yes, come on.
As Baba said in March, March 2.
Pune.
Pune, Baba is in that. So we remember that. And so we do go for 7 days or something.
Clairvoyant.
Yes, like you and then we go to Bharatan's tomb, drop a flower, Baba's own room, Biram's house, and go to Prasad. There, Baba places there.
No, but I.
You saw Baba's cave? I don't know if you have seen Baba's cave in Pune. You should ask John.
I've heard.
You should ask John if you know Baba's cave in Pune. He showed it to us in this time of year.
Lisa, Captain.
You know, and then next door to that cave, you know, is the resting place of the. And we ask Baba if he's spoken master. Maybe he answers pain. Then I don't know. Jamini Maharaj is a great soul, and this resting place is there. And Baba is. I don't know. Baba likes to go there. Twice Baba went to that.
Not a courtyard,
a room that is open, and then the Samadhi room is open inside. But this room has photos of gods and Prabhupada, and they have gods and goddesses. But Baba's photo was there already. We didn't put it. Baba's photo was there. Yes, and so he bowed in Baba's photo also. So see, Baba's standing there, you bow in Baba's photo. So whenever I pass there, I bow to that place, because I know Baba's photo also is there. And then on the same road, if you go a little bit further, you ask Jar, he will tell you, is the lovely statue of Jhansi Ki Rani. Jhansi Ki Rani was the queen, but she was very young. She was only 18, 19 or something. And she was a very brave queen. And when the British came and invaded India, and there was wars here, war there, everywhere they wanted to, how to say, invade India. Jhansi Ki Rani, she was so brave, she led her own army. This young woman, she led her army. It's a long story. But anyway, she fell in the war, and so her. She's revered as a patriot, hero, as a right. And so, it's many years now that they have a lovely statue on a question, high and lovely statue, and a question statue. And because she did not have an heir at that moment, she knew she was going to war. She had arranged for her brother's son to be on the throne. Yes, but she thought she would win the war. How can she win the war anyway? But she was so brave. She led the army. So the statue is very beautiful. She was a woman like that, and she had a sword and a and she looked back and telling her army forward, sort of, she's looking back, come on, like that. And it's very beautiful, actually. And a little son, the son of her brother, nephew, is tied behind her on the horseback to give us the idea that this child, she wanted him to be the heir to the throne, but it's sad. That's why it's very sad and touching and pathetic. What we call it, swollen. Sad story. So now does the nephew get the throne? Not that she gets, she will force war, but she leaves the army.
Baba Kunti taps me on the shoulder, and he pines down, and he... Oh, very good, Baba, yes, very good. The boy comes running, give her another helping. So I eat the second helping, Baba goes around and teases everybody. And I was just finished with the second helping, he taps me on the shoulder again. Oh, yes, Baba, very good, and that was a delicious dessert anyhow. So she said...
No.
He made long teeth. So, yeah, he slowly finished the third one because I started to get filled up. So, the Baba caught, and again, I felt in the shoulder. You know, right? Good. Yes, Baba. But now it's enough, Baba. No more, Baba. Please, Baba. No more. No more. Said, all right. After supper, after eating, I will take you all down to the meeting hall. So we were sitting in the meeting hall on the floor, on the wall this way, and then across the hall this way, and then on this wall. And Baba was sitting on this end. And he had the blackboard, and Ilitch was leading off the blackboard, and alphabet book, and Ilitch was looking around, as if he was looking for somebody, and so he said, oh, Fred, I said, yes, Baba. Baba says, you sit like a Brahmin after a big meal. Because I'm sitting with my feet stretched out like that for him.
My feet are stretched.
After meditation, we were supposed to be meditating every morning. And so some of them were sitting in the lower portion of the tower, some down in the garden, and I was way up on top where the flag is. But at the same time, I watched for the roadside when Baba's car comes flashing through the trees on the roadway from Aminaga. So I would sing out, Baba's coming! And everybody would shout, and let's get to the gate. And there we would be standing inside the gate in a half circle. And Baba would come and say good morning, and then he would say to one, oh, I'm fine, Baba. The next one he would say,
did you sleep well?
You slept well? Yes, Baba, I slept very well. The next one he would say, about a tooth. The tooth? Okay, Baba, it's fine now. Then he would go like this. Nobody knew what that meant. So we asked, I don't know whether you were there or Ali was there, I don't know. So we said, what does Baba mean by that? Oh, Baba wants to know whether you have been on the potty. And so it went on, and all of a sudden Baba disappeared behind our lines. I get a blow from behind in the kidneys. I staggered a couple of steps forward. It was a really man-sized blow. I looked around and there was Baba laughing as if it was a great joke. I thought I had to fight somebody.
Baba is here, but his time with us has ended.
Yeah.
His time with these people has begun.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they're leaving and there are tears, we don't want to go. It reminds us of the time when we were first coming to Baba and we would have to go back to school.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. So I can understand the feeling that this, they must be feeling that first beautiful. Oh.
Yes, some people are desperate to be near Baba.
Remember when he told you to be aid in the barn?
Yes. Baba was sitting in the barn, the middle beach, and we were all scattered over the big, huge barn. We didn't have so many, very many people in those years. There were about 50 to 100 people there. And we were all scattered over the barn, and Baba made motion like this. He said, come close to me now. The time will come when my new humanity, when the young people will be here, but you will be on the outer fringes, barely getting a glimpse of me. So come on now, close to me. And it has come to pass.
Yes, said the same thing.
Yeah, he said it in Guru Prasad.
In Guru Prasad.
He did, huh?
Yes,
Guru
Prasad. And once he made the motion of, yes, you will
be cast down.
It's like a tide, you know?
Yeah. Thank you.
Back, and you were, now we're there. Now we see it. And when in 1962, the people, Baba lovers in Pune, because the Pandal was enormous, and they wanted to, they knew that they could see Baba later. So they all took the seats, the line of seats that were right at the back. Because to give a chance to the others first who have come.
Who did that, Mommy?
And so some even were looking at Baba through binoculars, like you do on it for a play.
Who took
and they thought, this is the time Baba made. This is the government. We still didn't know. Because even though there were thousands of chairs and they were still outside. And the same in 1956 when it was only Indians, but only just a few Westerners.
You were not supposed to be getting up.
From nothing, you just broke it down slowly. I don't know what I collected you around me. And Rama and Pichini always to be very happy. Because that meant Baba was going to have to put up with us, which meant he was going to be with Baba. But when he started calling them pearls, gems, that you do for me, what nobody could have done for their master. Mm-hmm. And they started showing you. Now what's coming? Probably by that time saying, you know, maybe wanting them to do something very difficult like separation.
I never could understand why we 17 Westerners had to come to India in 1954, that we were picked from other different walks of life. Absolutely, how shall I say, separated in our thinking and feeling. Why we came, I don't know, no one knew. But yet it was a pull, a tremendous pull which made us. We couldn't make any do anything different. We never could understand it. But what is this? Just like Beryl Williams said, when we men left and the women amongst themselves, they're saying, "Why the men? Why couldn't we go?" And Beryl Williams said, to very innocently and very plainly, "Well, they need it more than we do."
There were the Baba, like instruments of every variety. I tell people that Baba wants unity, but not uniformity.
Not right.
No. Mm-hmm. That is the whole thing. When the first group, when we used to live in Baba, different temperaments, different ways of living, thinking, loving was the same. But otherwise, it's look at Narita, look at Elizabeth, Kitty, Tasha, Rana, each of us were Easterners. And then he can put them, only Baba can put them all together, roll them around, and bring up one.
And the so-called monotonous life in the ashram that the ladies wear, the so-called monotonous. It wasn't so monotonous. Thank you.
Baba didn't really want that. Didn't want when he was with us talking, giving that we should be going to give it up. But somebody said that he worked so many years with the men. I mean, more concentrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So many years with masks, so many years with men, and now so many years with women. But you have to work with women. He almost implied that never again.
He almost what?
Never again. He didn't say that, but it just implied that.
But you know, Phyllis, when she was in Myrtle Beach, was saying, men have their place, but with Baba in this incarnation, to be a woman and to be, you know, relaxing with him in the house and things like that, and see Baba so beautiful, that she really felt like it was a privilege to be in a woman's body around Baba.
There
didn't
you feel it? You need the women, you need the wet men, you need the animals, you need all
the different. He would give us time and again
last time
about the love of women for him.
Yeah.
He said, "Well, you people are around me and you have served me well and are serving me. Women love me more." And once it was heard, said and heard, twice it was said and heard,
three times, four times, a dozen times he had used this little weapon with him. So one day I blurted out, I said, yes, we have been hearing this quite frequently nowadays. If ever you were to come in a female form, you will taste the love of men.
Right on! Hey, Baba!
No, but Baba used to tell us how well the men love you.
Is that true?
Yeah, we say, oh, well, I don't see how. We don't see how.
So he said, well, it's so preordained that the God man always comes in James. So you will not have that chance.
But next time you'll be a woman.
What do you mean
next time?
Don't make sense. That's what he told me.
But, I mean, we never asked these things, but something had happened one day, as regards me. And Baba said, I was a man in my last life. So, sometimes in a dream you have a funny dream, and in a dream I saw I was looking in the mirror and I had a big mustache. And I said, this is terrible. How am I going to do anything about it? I woke up, I was still relieved that the baby was my last incarnation for this time. I told Baba a dream I had long ago, but somehow Baba was in the mood or brought up the subject and entertained him, like you would tell him a joke or you would tell him a story. The story, yes, I said, oh, Baba, I remember a dream I had once. What is it? Tell. And I dreamt that it was dusk, evening time. The sun had set, there was no light in the sky, and the whole place was just a plain. For miles, a big place. Except that I was walking. I knew I had walked a long distance, and I was looking for the secluded hill, that I had to go to the top of it. But which way? I don't know the way. And I keep walking and walking. At last, in the distance, I see a little light. And I say, ah, it's a house. Someone is living there. So at least I can ask there, please, can you show me the way to the hill? So I go near it, and it's a cottage, a house, and there's a fence around it and a gate, and by the gate is a man. And inside the house is that light. So I ask the man, excuse me, can you please tell me which way to the hill? So he points this way. I was going this way where the house is. He said, you go this way, go straight, and you will come to the hill. I said, thank you very much. And I turn, and I go straight. After I go a few steps, I turn back. And I said, but can you tell me the name of the one who is living here? The master? Because he was only a gatekeeper. Can you tell me who's living here? He said, oh yes. His name is Patience.
What? Patience.
Thank you. Baba said, patience solves all problems.
Indeed.
In the end, I mean,
indeed.
Stop it.
Mani, Dr. Jongi, you are coming from group of
and honest and all that sort of thing. So, the definition of honesty, truthfulness, being straight and all this. So rudimentary with me that I didn't know what real honesty meant. Not that I know even now, but I hadn't the foggiest idea, you see, of what honesty meant. What was being straight, what was being...
Opposite of the self.
So, what I simply felt was, to be truthful means to tell the truth. It was immaterial for me what happened to the other parties.
I say to Artie, Artie, sure? Didn't you say this? So it would be so embarrassing to Arthur, you see, at the time, in presence of so many others, you see, for whom he might have said something for the good of them. And I thought that it was being truthful and honest. So I used to say, blurt out things like that. And somebody, you see, would say something, and I said, don't tell me a lie. The truth is this. And I'll feel that. And he would feel so hurt, you see. And so forth. So one day, Baba called me to him and says, I'm happy with the way you're trying to conduct yourself. But this is not honesty, and this is not being truthful. So I didn't know what he was meaning by that. I was taking, all of a sudden, he got in his presence like that, called like that. He said this. Because I used to be there in his presence all the time. One day, I was all by myself, all alone with him. So this is not the way. See, you're hurting the feelings of so many people like that, you're behaving like that. That is the fact, that's the truth. I didn't say anything wrong, I didn't speak any lie or anything. That's what he had said, that's what he had done. He's hiding, he's being dishonest. He's being untruthful. Yes, but there are ways as to how you should behave truthfully, how you should speak the truth. Mm-hmm. And he says, I don't want to give you a lecture, you'll know it by yourself. But I'll tell you a story, he said. He always used to make stories to make us understand things. So the story is this. That's what he told me. So, as to how one should be truthful, to the nth degree. The story is, from that, of course, each one of you, I understand, will take a lesson and will know what Baba would want us to do. So he tells me the story. It is the story of at the time of Muhammad, who had just dropped his body. And his favorite disciple, one of the favorite disciples was Ali. You must have heard the name of Ali, the lion, so to say. In his fold, he was the strongest person there, very brave, very truthful, honest, obedient, and everything. So, he was to a great extent responsible to guard, safeguard the devotion of the few followers around Muhammad at the time. That time was very dangerous time, very frightening to the followers of Muhammad. It was not peaceful time. Not that we had any peace, of course, following this regime. So, what happened is, that after Muhammad had dropped the body, Ali was down in his spirit. He thought that what's left now, and all that. So he was brooding over the old days, or remembering. He was all by himself that day. Otherwise he would share the feelings, as we have been sharing now, the experiences and all the stories and this. But that day he was all by himself. And he was seated in front of the prayer hall. At the time of Muhammad, just as we have now little centers created, even in the presence of Baba, in his physical presence, there are so many centers created, so to say, have been sanctioned by him. Likewise, we now call them centers, but they are nothing but the prayer halls. So likewise, prayer halls or the centers were created at the time of Muhammad. So one of the centers, and the usual architecture of the place was, according to those days, was that the hall would be like this, where followers of Muhammad would gather together and speak about Muhammad, sit there, or do prayers according to the prayers taught by Muhammad. So the architecture of the place was, the designing and the planning was, it would be like this, the door, entrance, and here there would be two benches created of masonry on either side of the door. So Ali was seated there, where Bill is seated, on that side of the door, entrance. And he was just thinking about Muhammad or something like that. All of a sudden, there comes a man running to him from this direction. Sees Ali there. Says, Ali, my friend, give me shelter. Ali says, go inside. So he opens the door of the prayer hall. He used to remain closed. And he goes inside. And after, just when he said this, Ali came from there and sat here on this side, on this parapet. And he just remained seated. After a few minutes, a horde of people come running, chasing that man. So, not knowing where to go, he was not to be traced. You see, he was out of sight. Where had he gone? So, having great faith in the integrity of Ali, this whole crowd, you see, who were chasing the culprit, asks Ali, the crowd asks, where is the man? Have you seen the man? Ali didn't say. He says, no, not since I have been sitting here. Baba says, just remember this. He didn't say anything more than that. It's just for you all to find out what he meant by it. Speak the truth with the sole purpose of helping others. Otherwise, there is no sense. Truth is all pervading. What's the sense of exercising truth? You follow Baba. It's all pervading. What is the sense of your exercising the truth, Baba? Unless it's the soul, with the soul motive behind it, to help somebody.
Yeah.
You follow? Look at the example of a lawyer about one's responsibility. About what's a lie and what's not a lie and all that. So he cited the example of a lawyer. Not that I am trying to encourage you people to to speak lies, you see, or to indulge in dishonesty. I'm just giving you the instances where you all can judge for yourself how far you can stretch your being honest, truthful and all that. So, one day, a lawyer comes to Baba, and he is frustrated. He has a keen desire to just lead a straight line. He has earned a lot of money, you see, in this profession of his. And he has heard of Baba, and he comes begging to Baba, says, Baba, save me from my situation. I am undergoing great difficulty. What's the matter? Are you not earning well? He says, I am earning too much, more than I need. Then, what else? What's your difficulty, Baba? Is your family all right? Is your wife behaving very well with you? Are you having children and all? You know how ignorant he always professes to be all the time. So you'll never come to the point, you see, unless the person concerned vomits the venom out of his system. Otherwise, there's no need for him to be, to tell all this. See. He just behaves as if he knows nothing in order that we just throw the venom out of our system, whatever it be. He says, it's not that, Baba, but I have developed a distaste for my profession, my vocation. What's your vocation? I'm a lawyer. So what is this? It's good. You can take the brief of so many clients, you can help them. But then I have to speak lies all the time. I have to tell the untruth all the time. So Baba says, what is truth and what is untruth? What are you talking about? What's a lie? What's the truth? You, who are a lawyer, you take upon yourself the duty to protect your client, to safeguard your client's interests. So, in the discharge of your duty, when you are trying to safeguard your client, you have every right to see and take use means to safeguard his rights. So in the arguments that you put forth, in whatever you say at the time, it's not untruth at all. On the contrary, you will be dishonest to your profession if you were to stick to your conventional and traditional mode of being truthful and honest. Real honesty demands that you discharge your duty 100%. What do you say to this?
Yeah,
it would be dishonest. We are related to Baba, and what stress they were under, and they all hung onto the strap and the wheels of the car jumped the trestles.
Yeah.
And they were all crying out, Baba. Baba laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, I was right there, I heard you. And there was a little fellow, he was sitting behind a large fellow. He could hardly see Baba because he was so small. And he kept on looking up the big fellow's shoulder. And Baba eventually noticed it and he made him get up. So Baba said, what do you want? So he said, well, Baba, I'm the public prosecutor of the state of Andhra. How can I perform my duty truthfully in your love for my fellow man? So Baba says, you are the prosecutor of the state of Andhra. Fine. When you, in your profession, find a man guilty, you must condemn him. If you find him in your mind, in your heart, that he is not guilty, you must let him free. Baba did not say, according to the book, not to the man-made law, but to his own law of consciousness, of the truthfulness, whether he feels that a man is guilty, he said, I am in the guilty as well as in the innocent. And you must do your duty. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
And as you feel what is right, your judgment is of greatest importance if a thing is right or wrong. You cannot just say, well, paragraph so-and-so, page so-and-so, say so-and-so, 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 so-